know, and hopefully a couple of you may be new tonight, so let me tell you a little bit of what we're doing. We are in week 5. We have 2 more weeks every other Monday, so 2 more sessions in this. So what we've done, we started with the fact that you have a story and how to embrace that story, that your story counts, that there's a reason for your story. You know, I wrote something the other day, and it just hit me. It's like, you know, it's not about your story because it's about you. You are the story. Everybody in here has a story. You know, we watched the video, and some of you have said, well, I haven't been abused or done drugs or done this or done that. No, but you have a story, okay? You have a story. Everyone in here has a story. My sweet friend Carol is here, and she was here two weeks ago, and she goes, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I don't know if I really have a story. I mean, I've had a pretty normal life, right? A happy life. I haven't been down a lot of hell's highways. But, you know, I did adopt a young boy from Russia when he was 8 years old and no one else wanted him. You don't think she has a story? He's 25 years old today. 25, right, Carol? And he would not have the life had you not gone to Russia and taken a little boy that nobody else wanted. So often we don't even realize we have a story. So what I want you to do is to dig deep and realize everybody has something about your life that can relate to someone else. Everyone in here has a story that will speak to someone else. And that's what I want you to begin to understand. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit on how to write your story. And this is really important because over the next few weeks, as I'm going to give you instructions tonight, I want you ladies to begin to write your story. And those of you who are live streaming, and we are actually doing a video series on this, many women are already starting to send us their stories. We're putting together a book called Story Club, and it'll be really cool. It's a really neat table. Coffee table, black and white, with your photo, and then a couple pages of your story. It's really going to be neat for other women to read your story. But I want you to know how to write your story, and this is why tonight's so important. I want to give you a few verses, and they're on your handout. Something we always say here at Women of Influence is make sure you have a pen in your hand, because Holy Spirit will say things I don't. Meaning you'll feel a prompt, you'll feel a thought, you'll wonder something, you'll make a note. And I always love to have a pen in my hand because I make lists all the time. So it's really good just to stay active and stay present and listen and focus on what we're getting ready to say. Let me give you a couple verses that are really important so that you know writing your story is important. Actually writing it down, taking pen to paper, sitting down at your laptop and writing it. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 30, verse 2, thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. If he told Jeremiah to write it, don't you think he wants you to write it? He wants you to write down what he says. He wants you to write your story. He wants you to know your story. Habakkuk 2:2, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run to it who reads it. So somebody's going to read my story, and they're going to run to it. They're going to gravitate to it. It's going to minister to them. It's going to touch them. It's important that we write it. Revelation 21:5, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these are the words are trustworthy and true. That's what he said to John, and he wrote down the book of the Revelation. I think God cares about writing things down, don't you? Proverbs 3:3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. I wore my special key tonight. This is one of my giving keys I had made special just for me. And on one side it says truth, and on the other side it says mercy. And that's what the verse says, bind truth and mercy around your neck. And every time I wear this, I ask myself, am I been truthful? Am I giving mercy? And I love this verse in Proverbs. So do things for yourself to hold yourself accountable. All right, to write these things down. Well, let's take a moment and review what we talked about a couple weeks ago. First of all, you must know the why you want to tell the story before you can know what your story is. Carol, I'm going to talk about you again tonight, has just retired from a very prestigious position doing marketing and branding for a company. And we had her come in and meet with Women of Influence, and we're drilling deep because once we start these story clubs and we believe they're going to go nationwide on military bases and MOPS groups and all over the country, she kept drilling and going, what's your why? Why do I want to be a part of Story Club? And why do I want to tell my story? You have to ask yourself that too. We all know we have a story, but if you don't start with why I'm going to tell my story, then you may not be telling the right story. Because, listen to this, the why compels the what. Here's the why. Why do I want to tell my story? You have to make sure that your motive is pure. If you're just trying to get everybody to feel sorry for you, if you're just trying to victimize someone else, if you're saying, I'm going to put it in print and let everybody know what an idiot I had as a father, okay, your why is wrong. That's not why you're here to tell your story. So you've got to look at the motive there, right important. It's not a reason to bring blame or shame or pain or revenge. So why are you doing it? Next thing is purpose. What do you want your reader or your listener to take away from your story? So for Sarah and Soraya, when they write their story, which they're writing right now, and they're working with writers and writing their story, what do they want to take away? Why do I want to read their story? Yes, they're two beautiful Persian girls that came to America. It's their story, and they got stuck pretty much in a Christian school, so nobody could find them there, and they were safe there. Little did Mama know that they were going to come to faith in Christ. Little did the family know they were going to become evangelists, and there's a lot of the story that you don't know about that's really crazy you'll hear about, but what's the why? At the end of the story, it is so people could come to know the love of the Father. Their why is everything they went through so that you can come to know Christ. So you've got to know your why and why you want to write your story. And then action. What is the conclusion? What do you want your reader to take away? Do you want to empower them to tell their story? Do you want them to say, I did it, you can do it? You have to know why, or else your story is not going to make any sense. Does that make sense? So begin asking yourself, why do I want to tell my story? Before we even know how to write our story, ask yourself, why do I even want to tell it? Okay, let me move on. How to write your story. What does it take to write your story? Well, there's three steps, and let me start with this. The first thing is, listen, everybody, you must make a decision to write your story. Now, that seems pretty easy, pretty obvious, but actually, it's much harder than you think. You write your story by deciding first what you're going to write and how you're going to write it. So you can sit in here tonight, and I believe you're a part of story clubs because you want to know how to write your story. You read The Park, and we're in a small group, and we're answering questions. But everyone in here is going, you know, I kind of have a little story I want to tell. Let me give you some approaches on how to start your story. The first approach is you're going to start with the backstory. Now, think of whatever your story is, and we'll get to this, believe me, at the end of tonight, this is going to help you. But begin to say, do I want to start with my backstory? So they might start with, we were little girls in Iran. We had everything. Our grandfather worked for the Shah of Iran. Gold was all over our house. I mean, they begin, and they're telling you this backstory of two precious little girls in Persia. And you're listening to this until one day we find out that we had 10 minutes to get out of our home. The authorities had come. Do you see how they start with the backstory? So you might want to start with the backstory of where you were as a little child leading up to the point today. The second way to do it is start with a joke or a dramatic statement. So sometimes you start off with your story, I'd be the last one up here to be telling my story. And you begin to grab in your audience by almost making fun of yourself or a joke or a dramatic pause. There's just a dramatic word or a statement. Have you ever picked up a book and the first statement just got your attention? It just pulled you in. So you want to begin to think about your story with what's a dramatic thing I just want to start with. The room was dark, and he had just left. I wondered if he would come back again. I was only 5, experiencing things that no child should. Did I just get your attention? Okay. Do you see how I'm kind of bringing you in with a dramatic? Does that make sense? Okay. The next thing. Start with your timeline. Sometimes it's just a series of events as you write your story. And I'm going to give you some tidbits in a minute on how to do that. But you might want to just go chronologically through your story. And we'll touch on that in just a minute. And then the last one, start with the main point. So you might want to start with sexual abuse is wrong. It's wrong at any age. A little girl, a little boy, no one should go through sexual abuse. I just made a point. Then I began to tell my story. No one would have expected my family. My father was a deacon in the church. My mother ran the PTA. But night after night, as a little girl, do you see how I've weaved you in to that story? So you want to be able to kind of weave a story around your crisis. Does that make sense? Okay. And then, so that's the first, second thing. Let me walk you through the next thing. You must stay focused. Once you start writing, you will face self-doubt and insecurity along with hundreds of other adversities. Planning ahead for those obstacles ensure you won't quit when the time comes. So here's the thing. Once you start and say you're going to write your story, you have to commit and know your story has to be written. I believe every woman in here has something to say to someone. I believe that books and story and our situations and our overcoming, everyone can change a life. But what's going to end up happening, you're going to get all excited when you leave here, and you might just tell a little tidbit of something. I struggled with dyslexia as a little child. I remember having to go off, and all the children looked at me when a few of us were taken from the room. I felt insecure. I felt stupid. My whole life, the enemy has told me that I can't learn. My whole life, I felt insecure. Did you see how just a reading disability as a child can relate to someone else today with their story? I remember growing up in a home where food was our comfort. My mother weighed 350 pounds, and my father weighed 425. Everyone in the neighborhood made fun of us. We didn't really know any other way. It was just part of the way we were raised. So you can understand that when I reached high school, I decided I would never eat again. Before long, bulimia turned to anorexia. And at the age of 19, I weighed 92 pounds and was hospitalized. Do you see how somebody's story can change the life of someone? Everyone in here has a story. I could go on and on and on. I remember the third grade spending the night with my girlfriend. I got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. Her German shepherd was rattled and startled, thinking there was an intruder, and jumped on me and bit me and tore out the whole side of my rib cage here. Crying in pain, I didn't know what to do. My sweet little friend promised me not to tell anyone because the dog had already bitten two people and the dog would be put to sleep. I never told a soul. 4 weeks later, my school teacher saw it, called my parents in, thinking my parents were abusing me. They wanted to after I didn't tell them. Okay, I have a phobia of big dogs today. And that's my story. The other ones were made up. Do you see? And literally, I mean, and I walk the park. Literally, a big dog comes up to me, and I get, I mean, I'm just like, get scared. But I don't want to live in fear. My daughter has two precious big dogs and my grand dogs. Do you see how I can relate to someone who was maybe attacked by a dog? Now you say, well, what that, look, if you have a fear and a phobia, that could be crippling. Now, does that make sense? That's what I mean. Everybody has a story. You've gone through something in your life, the death of a loved one. You know, and you're having to, let me put you on the spot, but you know what I mean. And you're having to live life now differently. Everyone in here has something that can relate to someone else. So you must stay focused. Once you make a decision to write your story, stay focused. And then the third thing is completion. No one is moved by you telling them they have a story. People are moved by hearing your story. Completing the process will not only prove your diligence and devotion, but it will empower and inspire your audience. People say to me all the time, how did you write that book? I'm going to be honest, it was discipline. It was every single day writing a little bit. It was making a decision that I had something to say. When Holy Spirit gave me the idea for the park, every day I wrote a little bit. Every day I wrote a little bit. You know, we've got people in here that are disciplined in so many areas of your life. You don't get fit like a lot of our fitness people in here, except that they do it every day. Does that make sense? When you know deep down you got a story and you're going to tell that story, you can't tell me that Sarah and Soraya are ever going to give up on telling this story. They are writing it. They're going to get in a book, and I believe it's going to be a movie because they're passionate about their story. I want you to be passionate about your story. And you go, I don't have a little, my story is this big. Then write a pamphlet. Write something. Write a track. Write a testimony. Write a blog. Write a Facebook post. Write something. Because there's a sense of value in my story. That my story counts. Okay? So what we have to do, we have to identify the theme of your story. It could be a crisis. It could be a blessing. It could be a pain point. It could be an experience. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that you have multiple stories. Think of it this way. If you walk into a library and you see lots of books on the library, but there's one specific book you're going after. So when I want a commentary to study something, that's different than me wanting to read a novel or me wanting to read a research book. Right? So your life is lots and lots and lots of stories. You have to decide which volume you're writing right now. Are you writing about your relationship, your marriage, your heartache? I went the wrong way in high school. I had multiple relationships. I was abused. I was bit by a dog. Whatever it is, you see, you have lots of story. You just have to hone in on the one you want to write first. The one you want to write first. I'm going to give you some tips on how to do that. Okay? Let's see. Let me walk you through this. I think this is really good. Maybe you want to focus on a certain relationship, a theme, a feeling that has persisted for years, something you think someone wants to overcome. I want to give you this three-sentence description, and I think this will help you with your outline. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about the hook, the line, and the catch. So the hook is just one little sentence, like I just started with you. No 5-year-old child should have to go through what she did. Now, you could be telling this is your story, but you're setting it up more on the autobiography side, right? She couldn't wait until the lights were out and she knew he was asleep. Night after night, the memories of the previous night kept her awake. Do you see how that hooked me in right there? Then you begin to say, I looked like most children. I went to school and I played on the playground. My mother packed me a lunch. Da, 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 and you begin to weave your story. And then you always end with the hook, the line, and the catch. Have you ever experienced anything like this in your life? Because when you tell a story, you always want to weave in your audience. And we'll talk next week when I talk about how to speak your story and tell your story. I'm going to give you tools on eye contact, posture, tone, how you reflect certain things, how you come in, how you come out, how there's times where I'm excited and then there's times where I'm broken. You can really weave in a good storyteller with all of your gestures and your mannerisms. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. So make sure that you do the hook, the line, and the catch. I've given you some examples there that you might want to kind of think of it this way. And what I want you to do is I want you to just start, ladies, with three sentences. One sentence for your hook, one sentence for your line, and one sentence for your catch. So start out with that this week as you write your story. Something like this. I'm a single mom that helps everyone but herself. The truth is, I secretly desire a personal relationship for myself. Just two little sentences that help me know I'm going to tell you my story. A single mom. I had the love of my life, my high school love. I never thought this would happen to me. And I begin to weave in all the extramarital affairs, how I tried to hold on to the relationship, how I tried to look the other way for my children, but little by little I lost him. And I begin to weave in this story. But I give it myself to my children. Never had time for anyone else because I was devoted to my children. But secretly, deep down, I want to love again. I want to laugh again. And then you can weave into how you met God or how, does that make sense? You've got to weave story for your viewers and your listeners. Okay, so there's some examples there for you. I want to walk through our coaching tips right now because these are really going to be helpful for you guys to go through. Number one, now listen, this is so good. This is the first thing I do. Take your phone, you can do it on phone memo, you can do it drag and dictation, or you can actually go to on your notes, and there you can just push record. When I'm walking through the park is when I usually tell story. So I just record myself telling my story. So as I'm walking, and there's something about not having music going, anybody around, or thinking that you literally can. So just begin to tell your story. You're going to listen to it, you're going to record it, and then you're going to listen back to it. Because you're going to realize there's a lot of things that you've left out. But the first thing you have to do is get started. And this is the easiest way to get started. Most of you are not going to sit down with a pen and paper. That's the truth. But you will walk and record. And all you have to do, it's simple. Then you just email it to yourself. And then you paste it in a Word document. And now you already have a couple pages of your story. Does that make sense? It's so easy to get started. And you'll go in and tweak it, and there's going to be some words that come up you want to change, but at least it gets you started with a couple pages. So does that make sense to you? Do a voice memo first. Second, you must set a writing schedule. Guys, and I'm serious, I'm just praying to God, everyone in here writes their story. Even like I said, if it's just a pamphlet, I want your story. It's going to be good for you to do. but you must set a writing schedule. Consistency makes creativity easier. You need a daily deadline to do your work. You can feel free to take a day off, but schedule it in. So for me, on my calendar, I literally know when I'm writing. I have it on my calendar. It is my time. I write. I get a book finished. And I just usually write 2 or 3 pages a day. Or like I said, I go to the park, I speak it, and then I email it to myself, and then I go through and I say, what do I want to keep and what do I need to change? Never let a deadline pass. Don't give yourself permission to become lazy. Guys, now I'm going to get serious. If you want, people pay for coaching on stuff like this. My husband spent a whole lot of money going to hear a coach teach on how to write story. So the fact is, these are tools that will help you if you really want to take the time to write your story. Don't get lazy. Even if it's only 30 minutes a day that you're going to say, I'm going to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning before the kids get up and I'm going to write, or I'm going to walk and I'm going to record. Whatever you have to do, 3 times a week, I'm going to do it. Put your schedule down, okay? And that way you won't let yourself out. If you know it's on your calendar, you know it's on your calendar, all right? Next, choose a topic and title for your story. Have you been through an extraordinary experience, such as a death of a loved one, a personal heartache, maybe a spiritual transformation? What's your story? You have to choose what that is. The topic you choose will keep you focused on the point of your story. Really quickly, everybody listen. When I wrote 3 Skips and a Jump, I was working with a coaching client that was lazy. She wasn't doing her work, and I was frustrated with her. I determined that day I was going to fire her and give her all of her money back. And I'm looking across the street, and I see these little children playing hopscotch. And they're just throwing their rocks, and they're skipping along. And I remember saying, I wish it was that easy, God. I wish I could just skip over my problems and jump into my future. And that's literally when I got the idea, 3 Skips and a Jump. Because life is about 3 skips. You got to skip entitlement, you got to skip punishment, and you got to skip resentment. And when you skip those things, you literally can jump into your future and have a future. So the title for that book came out of a real life experience of me frustrated with a coaching client by literally seeing children play hopscotch. Does that make sense to you? My next book, Taste of Humanity. I was sitting in the World Trade Center before 9/11, looking out at all the different cultures of Manhattan, eating all kinds of food, realizing this little girl from the Midwest had never eaten all these world foods. I was so engrossed. You mean you can't live in Manhattan? Every nation in the world lives in Manhattan. So I said to myself, I'm going to go eat every food group in Manhattan. And I made it. Went to Little Italy, went to Chinatown, you know, went to Spanish Harlem. I went everywhere. I tasted everything. And then I had this idea. It's amazing when you eat the cuisines of the world, how you begin to understand the humanity of the world. When I began to eat couscous with my fingers, when I began to sit down, when I began to embrace culture. So I came up with a book called Taste of Humanity. And I've done a pilot both in India and in Africa because this made the sense to me. And the book is filled with cuisines and ideas and themes and questions and dinner questions. Do you see how I wrote a book based on a story I was living as a person wonder what humanity is like? It's so easy to judge humanity until you've experienced humanity. Does that make sense? And you can do it with cuisine. Cuisine was my bridge. So that was that story. As you know, The Park. The Park just came out. Holy Spirit downloaded that one. That was just like, whole. I just sat down and typed that one out. 252 pages later, it was written. But I believe God had a message for me to teach on the Holy Spirit. I personally was going through a whole encounter with the Holy Spirit like I never had in my Christian life before. So that book was birthed out of my personal experience. Does that make sense? Your story is going to be birthed out of your personal experience. Own it. Take time to think about it. Take time to process it. It may not even be a story. It may be a book. It may be a passion. It may be an idea. But write something, all right? Let me go on. You must set a daily word count. I love this idea. It said John Grisham began his writing career as a lawyer and a new dad. In other words, he was really busy. Yet he got up every day for an hour or two every morning, and he wrote at least one page. After a couple of years, he had written his first novel. That's John Grisham. He was not a writer. Hey, we may have some John Grishams in here, or Jane Grishams, all right? You don't know until you pick up a pen and start to write. I'd never written a novel, ever. And I think it turned out pretty good, okay? So when Holy Spirit starts to work in you and you start writing a passion or an idea what you've gone through, what your kids have gone through, how you've tried to protect your kids, but you can't protect your kids in a world where there's pain and hurt and suffering. I mean, what's your story, right? Let's go on. Start small and grow into your story. A good story always has a message. Write the concept of your story in a sentence form and then expound it into a paragraph and then into a one-page outline. Does that make sense? So all you have to first do tonight is decide, what's my story? What's my story? I've struggled with this. This has happened to me. We adopted a child. I've been a businesswoman my whole life. I've never had children. I'm trying to... What is your story? You got to identify what the theme of your story is and write that down in a sentence. Then you begin to write out the table of context, and that will help you stay. See, for me, with the park, I got this idea of a young girl named Rachel, and I started writing a table of context of her story. After I actually wrote each chapter title, that then was my story line for that chapter. I didn't write the chapters afterward. I wrote the chapters first, and then I wrote the story around the chapters. Does that make sense? So you can do that with your life as well. And go ahead and read through that. I think this is interesting. I seriously told you, write a pamphlet. 10,000 words is a pamphlet. And you'll write them faster than you think. That's literally going to the park about 5 days, voice recording your story, emailing to yourself, editing that, and you will have a blog or a pamphlet of your story. And you can go ahead and look at the 20, 40, 60. The park is about almost 70,000 words. So that's a novel. And that was me just sitting down and writing that. Don't get bogged down with the details. So when you write your story, guys, it's really important that you not worry about punctuation or spelling. Right now, all you're doing is writing. You're just writing from your heart. That will come later with an editor or when you actually hire someone to help you with that. Okay? So just begin to write. Don't stop writing. And then choose a consistent environment to write. This is really, really important. Find a certain chair in your home, a couch, a bed, wherever it is, a library, a Starbucks. And every time you are there, you know that's your writing time. Okay, I have a chair that I write at home, and every time I'm in it, all I do is write. It's my writing chair. So I mentally know when I sit there, I'm writing. And I don't let myself get up until I've at least written 10 to 12 minutes. It's because the hardest thing is getting started. Isn't it like that? Everything in life, fitness, you know, cooking. Once I get dinner started, I like it, but I just got to get started, right? Well, it's the same thing with writing your story. Once you get started, you're going to get in the flow of it. And also, memories are going to come. Let me tell you this. It's really important, too. I love to tell people, get out your photo albums, if you have your child photo album, and begin to look at your life. And there'll be some things. It might be an outfit you had on. It might be a school that you went to. It might have been a friend that you had that's going to trigger a memory that you're going to go, oh, my gosh, I forgot all about that. That was a vital part of your story. So do that as well. So choose a consistent writing environment and then reward yourself. You have to reward yourself. So maybe it's a manicure. Maybe it's a cookie. Maybe whatever it is. But something at the end of the week when you've written so that you know at the end of every week that you follow through with your commitment. And then get feedback from a trusted friend. Once you start writing, it's really important that you have somebody who's honest with you and doesn't just tell you, oh, it sounds so good. Go, you know what, that part doesn't make sense. Or that, what's your point? What are you trying to say here? So get a really honest friend that will speak into you and go, I know you've got something good here to say, you just haven't said it yet. Does that make sense? So have some feedback. After you get a few pages and you start bouncing it off somebody, get some feedback on that. And then number 10, make your point the first time. I like what I've written here. Remember to use your words sparingly and wisely. What most of us do is we say the same thing 4 times over and you've lost your audience. So say it succinctly. What am I trying to say here? Captivate your audience with one sentence. And let me give you an example. I love this. It said friends who knew Hemingway. It was talking about Ernest Hemingway. It said friends that knew Hemingway knew how much he despised flabby and florid writing. Once challenged him to write a story using only 6 words. Hemingway accepted the challenge, and he wrote, For Sale, Baby Shoes, Never Worn. If you have a pulse, those 6 words should stop you in your tracks. You have just been arrested by the power of story. baby shoes. For sale, baby shoes, never worn. It says it all. Know how to say what you want to say succinctly. When I just started those couple stories, I got right to the point and I drew you right in, right? So make sure when you tell your story, you bring your reader right in. You bring your audience right in. Now, I've read a lot. I like teaching when I can actually get out here and talk to you and look at you and captivate you. But I wanted to walk through those with you so you'll know as you read this week, you start going through those 10 points and you start writing your story. Get a few words that just hit you. If I could ask you what are 10 words that explain your story, what would they be? For these two, I would say relocation, Muslim, fear, didn't know the language, you know, whatever. Now all of a sudden I picked 10 words that explain their story and they're going to start to write their story around those 10 words. So what are your 10 words? Heartbroken, fearful, angry, whatever those words are. And now all of a sudden you're going to start to write your story. That makes sense? Okay. I'll give you a couple last things here. A few helpful resources. First of all, create a storyboard. Now, if any of you have been around me, you know one thing I love are vision boards and storyboards. So I get magazines and I just go through them. And sometimes something will prompt me and I actually make a vision board that can help me tell my story. That might be something you enjoy. Ask friends about their story because sometimes that gives you freedom to tell yours. Sometimes you say, I could never tell that part of my story. And then you hear someone say it and you go, that ain't nothing, girlfriend. And you have the freedom to tell your story. That's why we have the video series here, so that you see that people feel free to tell their story. They're not afraid to say it, okay? Stay focused, and then just remember, you have a story. You have a story that somebody needs to hear, and you have a story that you need to tell.